Welcome, everyone, to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. This is where we get to reflect, refine, and reboot your one precious life. In this space, we take a deeper look at what's holding you back. Maybe you want to show up differently for the people in your life. Maybe you're struggling with your emotional well-being. Maybe you feel as though something's missing and you want to get excited about your future. There's some good news. You can shift your perspective and begin to walk through the world in new, refreshing ways. I am a certified life and well-being coach who was called to create this show as a means to facilitate a journey of personal development. You have the power to change. Your life is precious. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Champion Your Life starts now. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. It's so great to be here with you all again, working towards living our best lives together. And what do we have? We have that one precious life. So whether you are listening to me live right now or later on the 90 different locations people tune in from around the globe, I just say welcome. I'm so glad you're here. So today we are going to talk about emotional childhood versus emotional adulthood. Yeah, I know. Don't be scared. It sounds daunting, but actually this concept is amazing. You know, if we can figure out how to become emotional adults, everything in our lives begin to change. I remember when I first learned this concept in my training at the Life Coach School, it really spoke to me. And I thought to myself, I'm like, I really want to teach on that one. So let's begin with what is emotional childhood? So emotional childhood occurs when we grown adults haven't exactly matured past childhood in terms of managing our emotions. It's when we're not taking responsibility for how we feel, how we react, and are often we put the blame on everyone else for how we are feeling and the results we're getting in our lives. And then this occurs when our emotional maturity has not matured beyond childhood. And here's what I mean by that. As children, we are not fully responsible for our emotions. We don't have the capacity or the ability to control our emotions when we're little, and nor should we, right? But when we are really young, we are dependent on our parents to solve all of our emotions. When a little baby will cry when they're hungry or their diaper's dirty, they're uncomfortable. They may cry when they get hurt, right? Or fall down. And as young children, we need someone outside of ourselves to handle those very basic emotional needs. And this, of course, is beautiful and how it should be when we're young. But as we grow older, many of us are still under the impression that external things, other people and situations, are still causing all of our feelings. We call ourselves adults, but most of us are still functioning as emotional children. So what happens is that it creates this dysfunctional dependence on other people and situations to make us feel good or happy all the time. And it's not something that we do on purpose. Most of us are not even aware that this is a thing until we're taught this concept. But when we begin to do this work, we begin to see this in ourselves, and it's really powerful. So living an emotional childhood can often look like a temper tantrum, or where everything is kind of like a tit for tat. It can look like denial. It just puts us in a place where we don't feel like we have any control over ourselves as adults, and therefore start acting ironically like toddlers. Look, I've definitely done this my whole life. We all do this as human beings, and I've caught myself whining or feeling offended, being frustrated, unmotivated, all because I wasn't taking ownership and responsibility for how I was feeling, and I wasn't managing my own mind. Oh, you guys, I laugh at one of my more recent epic emotional childhood moments.
I think it's etched forever in my brain, actually, as the perfect example of what we do as humans. It was last November on election day, and I was on edge, as many Americans were, waiting for the results to come in. And all of a sudden, I looked up and I saw my puppy, Champy, like out in the backyard with an Amazon package in his mouth, one that I had been waiting for. The next thing I knew, I was outside chasing that puppy like a wild person in my backyard, trying to grab the package right before he completely tore it up. And Champy was much faster and agile than me. Shocker. He went left. I went right. I took a plunge onto the ground that I'm actually truly sorry wasn't captured for TikTok. In my complete agitation of the moment, I lost all reason and ended up with a sprained wrist and a sprained ankle. I was so well aware of this concept of emotional childhood, and it was really pretty funny. I was able to see it immediately. Even as I lay on the ground, I began to laugh at myself. I was like, girlfriend, woo, what in the world was that? But when we're functioning as emotional children, we are blaming other people for how we feel, for how we act, and for all the results, or lack thereof, that we are getting in our lives. So again, when we're hanging out in emotional childhood, it's almost as if we're convinced that the world is conspiring against us. And here's something that's kind of interesting too, and this might be an aha for you all. One of the root causes can stem from parents that still function as emotional children themselves, and who in turn just keep perpetuating the cycle within our family structures. And it's rampant. You know, nobody takes us to emotional adulthood academy. That should be a thing, don't you think? There is no class offered in high school or college that says, hey, you're 18 now. It's time for you to become an emotional adult. And this is how you do it. And also, I think we should be able to join this academy at any age. But wow, think about that. What would that curriculum actually look like? Now that you're an adult and you have the brain processing capabilities to be able to identify and understand what you're thinking, it's you and only you are responsible for all your feelings and the way you present yourself to the world and how you respond to others. Whew. Can you imagine what a fascinating and productive class that would be? Once we reach this age, our brains are developed enough to begin to accept and understand what we're thinking. I mean, I know I would have so loved a coach at this age who could have shown me that we can become capable of reflection and then learn to decide what to think on purpose, no matter what anyone else does in our lives. Do you remember the concept from the first show? Reflect, refine, reboot, right? But what has happened now is that there's just so many adults that are functioning as emotional children. And the awareness around this is just not there. I'm sure you've all seen it. It's interesting, when we don't learn to regulate our emotions as children, when our homes, they might feel unsafe, or perhaps when we don't feel seen and heard. And, you know, even when it feels like maybe you had the most beautiful childhood, we can still carry with us into adulthood all sorts of insecurities that don't serve us. Often people will still carry those feelings of disappointment or anxiety, being easily offended, taking things personally. And then these are the traits that we end up dragging with us into adulthood. We often blame our parents. We blame our partner. We blame the government. We blame the school system. We blame our childhood. We blame the person that fired us, right? We blame everyone else for how we feel and the results that we've achieved so far in our lives. The problem with that Well, you know, it's only about the most disempowering thing that we can do, right? Keeping ourselves in a space of childhood thinking and blame. So you're probably saying to yourself, okay, but now what's emotional adulthood? Well, an emotional adulthood means that I understand that I am responsible for my happiness. No one else. And I'm also responsible for my unhappiness. It's the decision to take full responsibility for every single thing we feel, no matter what someone else does or doesn't do. Look, this is no small feat and really quite humbling when you begin to allow for the awareness around it. But it's so powerful, though. It's really powerful when we just decide to accept, embrace, and learn this skill. It's interesting. Often my clients will come to me feeling like victims, feeling at the mercy of someone in their life. For example, maybe somebody has gone through a difficult divorce and they're trying to parent with an ex-husband. And they will go on and on about how complex and difficult their ex is, that he or she is making them crazy or frustrated, you know, all the different emotions, right? But I will often say to them, well, let's think for a minute. Let's look how you are turning over your precious emotional life. Seriously, of all the people in the world, is this who you want to give your power to? The truth of the matter is that we are adults now, and we are responsible for everything we are feeling. And notice for a moment that when we blame our ex or whoever or someone else for how we're feeling, pay attention to how that often fuels an emotion within us and an action that we don't even want to take. And it's usually something we will regret. Let's say I give my emotional life over to my husband, Tom, by telling him in my head, you, pal, are responsible for making me happy. Or you're responsible for when I'm frustrated and you're responsible for when I'm sad. Everything you do, Tom, causes an emotion in me. Poor man. You can see if I'm living in that space, I am going to be constantly trying to control his every move. My husband would become the pawn in my emotional chessboard of my life. Can you see that this is a very disempowered place to be? And it's maddening because you know what? We can't control other people. Did you know that? And they really don't like it when we try. If you notice that one too, people don't want to be controlled. Crazy. Oh no. So just for all you micromanagers out there in the world, listen up. This is a big one. People don't like to be controlled. I want to know what you think. We're getting real here. Please write your comments and your thoughts in the chat box right now. If any of this is resonating or speaking to you, maybe it's a light bulb moment around emotional childhood, or maybe it's about how you're just trying to control all the people in your life. But I'd love to hear from you regardless. We're going to go to break right now. You are listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. What do we have? One precious life. Let's work towards emotional well-being. We'll be back in a few.
Hi, I'm Trish Laub from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your care hero tip of the day. As a child, I took dance lessons. I would twirl through the grocery store, leap from aisle to aisle, and dance anywhere I could. One day, while giving my parents their medications, I realized that dance was my medicine. And when I took my medicine, I was more patient and focused, and my emotional and spiritual tank was filled with more of everything I needed to be a better caregiver and daughter to my parents. I realized that self-care was not selfish, but rather self-love, and that it was essential to my ability to be resilient and to recharge and thrive instead of merely survive. So now when I need to recharge, I turn up the volume and dance it off. What's your medicine? Tune into my show to learn more. See you the second and fourth Tuesday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon Art to Soothe Your Soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the paintings. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
On Transformation Talk Radio, you are listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. Well, we've been having fun here talking about emotional childhood and trying to control all the people in our lives and how it just doesn't always work for us. But on a more serious note, it's fascinating. It's really fascinating how when we give up trying to control other people, we find ourselves regaining our own strength, our power, our sanity in perspective. It's funny. It's a little counterintuitive, but I've seen this happen so many times in my own life. When we surrender or give up the reins of trying to control an outcome or what a person is doing, it gives them the freedom and responsibility to figure out things for themselves, right? And often, not always, but often they'll end up doing what we had hoped they would do in the first place. Think of those times. I was also thinking about this earlier today, like that when you're in the car with someone you love and you approach them with 20 questions, chances are you're going to get nothing back, right? But if we choose just a lighter approach, a simple, hey, how was your day? Often that person just opens up because they sense you aren't trying to control that conversation. You don't have an agenda, right? You're just open, available, non-judgmental, and they can feel that and often will respond. It's just interesting. Something to think about. Oh my goodness. Looking at the chat box now. You guys are hysterical. There's some priceless comments. Someone wrote, I think I just want to stay in emotional childhood forever. Yeah. I get that. It's a lot of work trying to be an adult. Do you think that when I'm feeling jealous, that I am in emotional childhood? Whew. That is a great, great question. Wow. I wish you were here to discuss live. So let me think. Truthfully, it depends on how you reacted in the moment. So like, did you lose it or did it turn into a shout fest, right? Or was it more like a private tantrum in your brain? It's interesting, right? We can feel jealous and not respond honestly, right? We can quietly seethe or do the silent treatment. Or we can try to communicate and process our feelings like an emotional adult. Thank you for that. That was actually a great question. Okay. It did not even occur to me that I have been dealing with parents who are operating from emotional childhood. Now I'm afraid it's genetic. No, stop. My goodness, that's all of us. Because if we operate from honesty and humility, we can see it in ourselves within our family units. Everyone has moments of emotional childhood because why? We're human. And some families are a little bit more evolved or healthier than others, but we can always learn these concepts and always grow. So that is the really good news. All right. So we are going to take a look at emotional adulthood now, a little closer, which of course is the flip side of emotional childhood. But I want you to invite and focus on this parallel concept of the adulthood and how to ask and invite more of it into your life. It's a mature, confident, self-assured, and responsible energy. And we want more of that in our lives. So let's review emotional childhood. It's expecting the world to change so that we can be happy, expecting the world to be a certain way, right? So that we can feel better. Whereas emotional adulthood is a place of well-being. And that includes a 50-50, right? The 50-50 of life that we've discussed before, where we are taking full responsibility, right? For every single thought, feeling we have in every situation that we find ourselves in, the good and the bad. So emotional adulthood is really about ownership, isn't it? Which when we break it down simply means that we are willing to look at ourselves and our own behavior, and then decide in that moment to show up in a way that will serve us and the well-being of others. There's a beautiful scripture from 1 Corinthians, I think it's 13:11, that I've loved. It sort of says it all. It says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man or a woman, I gave up my childish ways. Wow, right? It's those moments when we are not reacting, when we are responding in a thoughtful manner, when we become more focused on what matters rather than being distracted with things that we can't change, right? We can't change situations. We can't change. When we are in emotional adulthood, we are no longer stressing over the things that are out of our control. We know intuitively that it's just a waste of our precious energy. And from this pure place, we can then begin to create a life that speaks to our soul. I'm going to give you 5 quick tools to help towards living in emotional adulthood. And the first one is to develop an awareness around every thought we choose to think. So we develop an awareness around every thought we choose to think. Will we ever stop being amazed at how our thoughts control our emotions, right? It's so easy for our minds to go south and get stuck in a spiral of negative thinking. In our family, we call it the rabbit hole. But when we practice mindfulness and awareness, this helps us to flip that tendency, right? It's so important to become the watchers of ourselves and then begin to call out negative bias with a little humor when it arises, like, oh, there it is again. But when we stop and recognize that we just have these shenanigans in our minds going on, we can then pause for however long we need. Always throw some compassion in the mix and then shift our focus back into the realm of emotional adulthood. All right, number 2, letting go of victim mentality, no longer at the mercy of others' behavior. Letting go a victim mentality, no longer at the mercy of others' behavior. Believe it or not, it's not other people's job to make us happy. That's our job. And when we make it someone else's job, our husband, wife, mom, dad, boss, we give away all of our strength, all of our power. We never control the actions of others, really. We want to believe we do, but we don't. So if we're basing our happiness on the behavior of others, can you see how we're not in charge of our own happiness? How we're letting others and their behavior decide what kind of day we're going to have? I mean, why would we do that? We are responsible for our own happiness. And I remember feeling really, really free when I first learned this concept. Again, it's not easy to grasp this immediately, but when we take the time to look at it, it is a game changer. So feel free. Some of these concepts may be new to you. Go back, listen again. When I first heard this one, I must have listened to it 6 times. I was like, wow. So, all right, we're going to move on to number 3, understanding that it is our job to make us feel secure. Understanding that it is our job to make us feel secure. So other people don't make us feel secure. It's really our job. A lot of my clients think they're pretty convinced that if they were in a romantic relationship, that they are going to be a lot happier, secure, more on track. But really, I say to them, is that always the case? Is that really true? I think that many of us can think of a time, right, when we were in a relationship that didn't really create feelings of security. I think the real work of security is learning to love ourselves. I had my grandma used to always say to me, kid, you know, you have to learn to be comfortable with yourself first and foremost. Thank you, Miss Elizabeth, for such amazing, wise advice. And now I can pass it on to others. All right, number 4, we are responsible for our own happiness, pain, and joy. Ultimately, other people's opinions don't hurt our feelings. It's our thoughts around it that cause all these feelings. For example, let's say you have brown hair like me, right? And if somebody walked up to you and told you, hey, I like your blue hair, you'd dismiss it immediately. You know you have brown hair. Their opinion doesn't make sense, right? Or matter. You wouldn't need to be offended in that moment. But listen to me, this exact same principle applies to anyone's opinions or statements in any given moment. We always get to decide how we want to respond to what has been said or done. It's not anyone else's job to make us feel better. Interesting, right? And finally, 5, letting go of thinking we can control another human being. It's a big one. Letting go of thinking we can control another human being. Well, we discussed a little earlier how it typically doesn't go well when we try to control another person. It's usually very ineffective, and most people just plain don't like it. So we have to let go of expectations sometimes, don't we? We have to let go of our version of how things should be, you know, the world according to our plan. Listen, we can ask for what we want for sure. But the truth of the matter is, it's up to that person if they want to fulfill our wishes. And when we allow other people to just be themselves, that just cracks me up when I say that. So generous of us, right? But then we get to actually get back to the work of being our best selves. And there's always plenty of work to do there, right? But when we show up from a place of love, responsibility, and ownership, often those around us will mirror that behavior. That kind of energy is emotional adulthood at its finest, and people can feel it. And remember, if something is said or done to us, we get to choose who we want to be in that moment, how we want to respond. We always get to choose who we want to be. And here's one last thing. Be kind to your emotional adult and your emotional child. Because look, when we first learned this concept, avoid harsh judgment or criticism for any thoughts, feelings, or actions you wish you hadn't made. This is not the intention of this process at all. The intention is just to help you notice, wow, if I feel this way or if I act this way, it's all because of the way I'm thinking, right? Just be curious about it and treat yourself with kindness, because now you know and you can shake it up and change it up if you choose to. So we're coming up on a break and I'd love to chat with you if you're feeling so brave. Let me know your thoughts on emotional childhood, what's coming up for you. So either call in or drop me a note in the chat box if you feel like sharing, because this is when we get to learn in real time together. Again, you are listening to Champion Your Life on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune in to And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Hey, everyone. We are back on live with some people that have called in. Do we have somebody on the line, Olivia?
Yeah, we've got Denise from Connecticut. Denise, you are on with Leanne Champion.
Hi, Denise.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, thank you. Hi. I'm just glad to be here.
Good. So you were listening to all these concepts, right, on emotional childhood and adulthood. Did something resonate with you?
Oh, yeah. I was listening and I just found myself frustrated, with the situation that's going on. And, a lot of things resonated. I'm just like trying to like process like my thoughts.
Oh, well, thank you for being brave and coming on and doing that with us. So what was coming up for you? Tell us all the things.
All right. So I gave my husband, I love to read. So I gave my husband a gift of a book that I was reading, and I thought that it would be like a wonderful idea for him to read it as well, and for us to like discuss it and just, you know, see that, just to see that it will be like a good information and maybe like one of those books that it's a life changer type of thing. So I gave it to him like 3 weeks ago. Today will be 3 weeks and he still hasn't picked it up. And I just feel like really frustrated and upset about it. And part of me like knows why I'm upset, and like, but now that I just hurt you, I just feel like maybe I should just dig in more.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, let me make sure that I heard you correctly, Denise. You have a book that you found that really resonated with you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you got a copy for your husband several weeks ago. I think you said 3 weeks ago. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's yet to read it, right? Is that right?
Right.
So what's your thought around all that?
So I just feel like he just not valuing my opinion or my suggestions. And like, it makes me really upset to like know this.
Okay. So you gave your husband a book. And that's a circumstance in the situation. And you have a thought around that he doesn't care what I think or he doesn't care what I have to say?
My suggestions.
He doesn't care about my suggestions. So when you think that thought, he doesn't care about my suggestions, what feeling comes up for you, Denise?
Well, I feel right now, even like, I feel ignored and rejected. Like he's rejecting me by not reading the book and how important this is for me that I gave it to him.
Okay. And so the feeling that's come up is rejected. So what's happened since then? What would I see you do? How are you treating your husband in the meantime? Since you gave him the book and the 3 weeks have passed.
Yeah. I mean, I see myself like I now that I was listening to you. So I realized that I've been like edgy, moody, and like, upset about just anything.
And it's so funny. Now here's the big question for you. Like, did you ever tell him that this meant a lot to you?
I didn't. I did not. But wouldn't it be if I give him something and something, you know, that it's important? And
well, it's a little bit, it's interesting what we do in relationships sometimes, right? Again, we were talking about how typically we can't really have a plan that people have to follow because people are human beings, they're going to do what they're going to do. But I have to smile a little bit. Sometimes we do these things and we have all these thoughts and stories in our head of how we think they should go. But the funny thing here, Denise, I'm hearing you say that you didn't even let him know that this was important to you.
No, I just thought that it would be known the minute I gave him the book.
Funny. It's like, why don't you know all those things? It's like a little bit like that funny example I gave about my husband Tom should know everything, right? He should know when I'm mad, when I'm sad, and it's a lot to put on a another person, right?
Yeah, when you were saying that, I realized that I've been doing that in a certain degree. I mean, that really resonated.
Oh, that's amazing. So how do you want to think about it now? What do you want to do about it?
Well, I just don't know what to do with my feelings because I still feel this way. Although, I'm learning that he's not responsible for my feelings. Mm-hmm. But yet, and you were talking about choosing, the choices that we have. But
I'm wondering if maybe you could have a thought that maybe this book is for such just the perfect time that he's ready to pick it up. You know, maybe this is just a seed that's been planted. But I also would like to suggest that you could maybe let him know that you've been having this hilarious conversation privately in your own mind about how you wished he'd read it. And you never know. He may pick it up upon learning that this matters to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd like to have that conversation and see how that goes. But also, you also said something really, that when you're putting that expectation on your husband, that's just not realistic. So that really, am I putting high, expectations and am I falling into that?
And what do you primarily want to do with your husband? I think I know the answer. You primarily want to do what?
Like with, if he reads the book.
No condition. No conditions on this. I was leading you in. So how do you feel about your husband? Is he a great guy?
Oh yeah, he's a great guy.
Are you gonna love him whether he reads the book or not?
Yes.
There you go. But I definitely want to have a conversation around him so that you don't need to suffer anymore. Isn't it interesting? Again, it gets back to our thoughts, what we're thinking around. And here you are suffering quietly in your mind about something that he may not have even really realized was that important right now in this moment. So if we're talking all things emotional adulthood, Denise, what I think I do is just to have throw a little compassion into the mix and maybe have a cute conversation about this. You can maybe even tell him you listened to a podcast and had this revelation and see what happens. Give it a try. That would be showing up from a really pure place.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm kind of laughing to myself right now just because I'm realizing again in childhood, in the childhood emotional, all these 3 weeks, and I'm sure all their weeks, but it's just like, it's really great to kind of like get this and be aware of it.
Oh, it's fantastic. You've got this. You've got this. Denise, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
So Olivia, is there anyone else that wanted to come on?
Yeah, we've got someone else here. We've got Anne from Nevada.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. Yeah. Listen, I don't have really any question, but I just wanted to tell you, it's just so funny. This is such a great a concept. And I think my emotional childhood, I just had this like aha moment. I am so much in my own head. I do believe that's emotional childhood, and I never thought of it that way. I mean, I'm assuming so much, and probably 90% of it is not true. So it was just.
Oh, I love that. Can you give us an example of what you mean?
Yeah. I got this email the other day by someone who I haven't talked to in a very long time, and I thought he was mad at me. Why? I don't know. I just got it into my head that he was mad at me. And, I assumed he was, and this beautiful email comes and he was so kind and so loving. And how am I? And I realized when just now, as I'm watching the program, oh my God, I am just making things up in my head. I think social media also too, if I don't immediately like something, or if I don't get back, or if I don't, I feel like, oh, they're angry at me now. They're mad at me now. I mean, it's saying it to you now, it seems crazy, but this is actually, you know, what I've been feeling. And I realize now that this is definitely emotional childhood.
Well, listen, I can tell you that I think this is extraordinary that you're talking about this, and also just these, I think you said the word assumptions.
Yeah, I'm assuming so many things that
assuming. Yes. And just think how many times we do that to ourselves, right?
It just seems so, I mean, listening to the program, it just made me think, I mean, I totally agree that you can't control everything, you know, and the things to do in emotional adulthood, but it just really hit me like a, you know, a star out there, just like, wow, I assume a lot and I'm probably wrong most of the time.
And it is interesting to think too, during such an isolating time is that like the last year and a half has been, I mean, many people could be in their heads assuming a lot of things, you know, about other people, which would be just such a with shame right now, right?
Yes, especially now, just because I think I didn't, you know, get back to somebody in time, or, and even if I didn't, and they were a little, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. We're doing the best we can.
Oh, I love that. Aren't we though? Yeah. As much love as you can. Right. Yeah. That is such a really, really good thing. I think I'm going to actually add this to my talk going forward on this, because I think that is just such a really key place that where so many of us land in emotional childhood by creating stories in our heads and how people think or what they think or feel or what they're thinking or feeling and being offended and then realizing we didn't really need to be, or, you know, it's wonderful. Yeah.
I just share that with you. Thanks.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. Thank you for calling in.
One more person here. We've got Sophia.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
How? Good talk. Oh, you like it? Yes. It's a powerful one, to say the least. So what came up for you?
Well, I just it's not what I originally was going to talk about, but I just have to piggyback on the last caller about thinking that people are mad at you. Same thing like with Facebook. Facebook really feeds on that. You know, if you post something and you're waiting for the likes to come in and they're not coming in fast.
Right. That's so true.
For me, where I think I pretty much show up as an adult in the real world, there could probably be people that would disagree with that, but it's really about my own, me with me is where I get pretty childlike in terms of self-care and I don't want to use the word parenting myself per se, but distraction, allowing myself to get distracted, allowing myself to not really fall in line with discipline action is really a problem for me. You know, and I can, it's really a problem. I mean, I can trace it back to not really...
Can you give me an example? You said you feel very distracted and there's some discipline that's not happening, if I heard you correctly. But can you give us an example of that, when that would happen?
Sure. Let's see. Well, I have some, you know, really exciting projects that are all based on me moving forward. Like, I'm a writer. And it can be really easy for me to put it off, even though I'm very passionate about it. I'm excited. I think it's timely. And I can kind of default to a place of just rest. And like, I'll play online mind games, you know, keeping your mind sharp and things like that. I'm always finding other things that I can do. Same thing with exercise. Those are the two biggies. those are really the two biggies. Yeah.
All right. So when you are thinking about doing some writing and you're working on a project, what is the thought that might come up for you to keep you from writing?
The thought that would come up for me to keep me from writing.
You talked about wanting to keep yourself comfortable and safe. It's interesting. I heard you say that as well.
Yeah.
So what do you, what might you say to yourself to keep you from writing?
Energy. I think of how much energy expenditure and like it would just take energy and I don't have energy.
Okay. So I don't have energy today.
Yeah.
That's the thought. I don't have energy today. And then what emotion comes up for you when you say that to yourself?
Sadness.
Okay. And then what would I see you do?
Just go back to lying down and playing online.
Down, playing online. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That's a common one. Anything else? What else would I see you do?
Play with the cat, call friends. Things that, like I say, really look like distractions. They're not purposeful.
Not getting to what you really want to do, right?
Yeah.
Play with the cat. Okay, so here we are. So you're writing, your circumstances, you want to write, and you've got some projects out there that you're excited about. But the thought is that you say to yourself a lot, is I just don't have the energy. I don't really want to do this. But then it's amazing. The sadness, it sounds like a sadness kind of comes over you, right? And then from that sad place, because we're thinking, I don't have any energy to do this, you lay down, right? You play online. That sounds like it's a fave. Any eating involved in any of this or no?
Oh, yes. Grubhub. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yes, and Grubhub. Love it. You call friends. You play with your cat. But you know what? Interestingly enough, what do you think the result is of all this? I can see it pretty clearly.
It actually enforces the idea of not having very much energy. I actually end up not having very much energy.
Right. Enforces it. And also you don't get anything done, you know, for what you want to do, right? You're so excited about this.
Yeah.
These projects. And then ironically, yeah, exactly. You lessen, you know, your capability to get anything done with that thought, don't you? So that's so interesting. And that is pure. Yeah. When we do these kinds of things to ourselves, that is pure emotional childhood, right? So interesting. It's hard. You're being hard on yourself. It's so interesting. So what is a thought that you could replace, Sophia, that you could think instead of, I don't have the energy today? What's something you could think instead?
Well, I was hoping you could tell me.
Yeah. Well, what you want to write, right?
Yeah.
So my job as a coach is I know that you have the answer. So what do you think? I don't have I don't have the energy. Just doesn't sound like this energy that I'm hearing on this call today.
Right.
You want to write. So what's a thought that could introduce getting something done?
And I was really kind of kidding when I said that about you having the answer. I know it has to come from me.
All right, girl.
All right. So, well, this is really an issue. And I guess, I mean, in conversation, I think I need to know how to motivate myself. I never really learned that. I was a kind of like a gifted student as a kid. I was the youngest in a big brood. People weren't really watching how I did things or making sure I did things. And so I kind of floated along and I didn't really get the training on how to do things methodically and how to do them well.
So Sophia, I'm going to just take you with me just for the sake of time. What I want to say to you is that you can create the motivation from this place. You can say, you know, this is important to me. This is something I've always wanted to do. Today, I'm going to devote 30 minutes. You don't have to start with something outrageously big, right? But you can say, I'm going to be good to myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to devote 30 minutes today. And I often, it's so funny. Often when we just give ourselves a time frame on something, then we end up wanting to go much further into it just than 30 minutes. But if you
make a deal with yourself and say, you know what, I'm going to show up for myself.
Yeah.
And really make some progress on this because I'm going to feel like a million bucks, you know. So I would, this is the work you need to do. This is interesting. You should reach out to me. I'll send you some stuff on getting motivated, but okay. I would create a thought around, I'm going to give myself the gift of 30 minutes to write on the things that really matter to me. All right. I'm going to give myself this gift. All right.
A small bite-sized goal.
Correct. Excellent.
That definitely resonates for sure. Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. You've got this. You've got this. Oh my gosh. I love all these calls and I hope you are all blessed by hearing what everybody, what was coming up for everyone. But in my final thoughts today, you all, I just want you to realize that when we take responsibility as emotional adults, the chance of showing up in a way that we don't want is just so greatly reduced. But if we do act in a way we later regret, we can own our actions completely. We can apologize. We can say, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm sorry. This one was on me, you know, and this, guys, is just such a beautiful, wonderful place to reside. It's just the secret to a contented life. It's just a pure place where you have clarity over your emotional world. And sometimes I think it sounds as if emotional adulthood won't be fun and exciting, but I promise you, actually, the opposite is true. Because being dependent on someone else as an adult when you don't need to be, it's very disempowering. So I just want you to explore this concept in your own life. I promise you, this is worth it. We have one precious life. And if we can learn to do this, we can be better than happy. We can be emotionally healthy. You have been listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. For more information, please check out my website at leannechampioncoaching.com or just type in championyourlife.com. We are live every other Wednesday, so I'll see you next on Wednesday, May 19th, 1 p.m. Pacific time and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We might be covering boundaries next. Until then, Godspeed.
Thank you for listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To find out more about me and my coaching platform, visit championyourlife.com. That's championyourlife.com. You have one precious life. Let's live it to your fullest potential. Let's go. Let's do this together. See you next time.